W.C. Field said, "It's morally wrong to allow a sucker to keep his money," which, fair, if you're playing poker. If you're running an airline, maybe not. Hi there, and welcome to Here's a Thought, the blogcast for people who overthink. I'm your host, Jan M. Flynn, an author for whom overthinking is an occupational hazard. But you don't have to be a writer to have a crowd of noisy thoughts playing on repeat. And if that describes you too, sometimes or all damn day long, then once a week, I invite you to take a break from the voices in your head by listening to the ones in mine. This week, I'm steamed. Now, there's plenty to be angry about these days, of course, and usually I decline the invitation to get all worked up, unless there's some positive action I can take to fix whatever it is that has my knickers in a twist. Because otherwise, what good does it do to get mad? It's not good for my sleep or my spleen, and it doesn't make me more fun to be around, that's for sure. But this week, my husband and I had the old bait and switch pulled on us by a commercial airline. I mean, if you're going to ask customers to trust you with their safety while hurtling them through the ether in a metal tube, your business practices should be trustworthy too, don't you think? So, let me tell you about our recent experience with what I will call clickbait air. Now, let me be clear, I am not dumping on all commercial air travel. In fact, I'm a fan. Whenever I look out an airplane window and I see clouds dancing below me, I marvel. Here I am, sitting in a chair 30,000 feet in the air, traveling at a speed my great-grandmother would have been convinced was impossible. True, the seat may be cramped, my knees may be jammed against the back of the seat in front of me, and a shrieking toddler may be thumping the back of mine with double-barrel kicks. But still, air travel is a miracle. So I'm not carping about all airlines, just one. Stay tuned. For listeners who don't know, my husband and I live in Boise, Idaho. It's a lovely place to call home if you can overlook the screwball politics, which doesn't seem to make anybody on either side of the divide happy, just more divided. Anyway, Hubs and I refer to Boise as the Goldilocks City. Not too small and not too big, despite the whining by old-timers about all the damn Californians moving in. Our not-too-big, not-too-small house is in a sweet neighborhood near the river. It's also only a 10-minute drive to Boise's delightfully accessible airport. And that's a good thing, because Boise is also far from anything. And by that, I mean any other major or even semi-major burg. The closest is Salt Lake City, and that's 340 miles away. It's 430 miles to Portland, Oregon, just under 500 to Seattle, and 815 miles to Denver, where our adult children live. And that makes us frequent flyers. Luckily, one of my sons is a captain for one of the major airlines with flights in and out of our regional airport. Does that mean you get to fly for free? I get that question a lot. The answer is not entirely. We still have to pay taxes on what would be the full fare, but it's still a real steal. Considering how much that kid's father and I shelled out for flying lessons back in the day, it seems only fair. But our pilot parent passes only apply when we fly standby. Flying standby means that if the flight is full and all the paying passengers show up, you don't go. Same if another flight gets canceled and its passengers get redirected to yours. This is true no matter how far in advance you make your reservation. And if you have connecting flights in your itinerary, that easily doubles your chances of watching your plane pull away without you on board. It's happened to us enough times that we rarely try to use our standby passes when both of us are traveling. Also, Boise is a regional airport, not a hub, which means there are limited destinations we can reach nonstop. And because, believe it or not, we're not made of money, we are still always on the lookout for travel bargains. Recently, a new-to-us airline announced direct flights between Boise and Santa Rosa, California. We were thrilled. Flying into Santa Rosa would put us only a 45-minute drive from where we used to live and where we have friends we want to visit. Better yet, the introductory fare for its first flights in May was only $69 one way, That meant the two of us could fly round trip for just under $300. We were on the phone with our NorCal buddies right away. Come on down, they said. All we had to do then was jump online and book the flights. Now, we knew that this is what's called in the industry a low-cost carrier, aka a budget airline, which shall remain nameless in this story because I don't need any legal tedium, but I will say that it is not one of the better-known ones like Spirit, Allegiant, or Frontier. Therefore, we expected fees for anything extra, meaning anything beyond delivering ourselves and maybe my purse from point A to point B. But who cares? It's a short hop, and we pack light. Well, we weren't wrong. This airline's definition of extra is so broad as to encompass everything from carry-on luggage, $43 for a small rollerboard each way, to an additional charge that applies to each individual seat depending on its location in the plane, even though there is no first class, business, or even economy plus section. Whatever. We kept going, and we were deep into the labyrinthine booking process when we discovered there was another extra for which we'd be charged. The seats. That's right. On this airline, the seats cost extra. The term fare apparently only means the cost of transporting your physical mass from here to there. It does not include a place to sit your mass en route. Up until that moment, we'd always understood the term extra, when used in a context like air travel, to mean something you don't absolutely have to have. We could, after all, endure a less than 2-hour flight without snacks or beverages or Wi-Fi or more than 8 inches of legroom. We could even figure out how to get by without luggage for a 4-day trip. But seats? On a passenger plane? Seats are not extra. But on this airline, they cost extra. So much extra that they cost more than the fare. Assuming the airline would not allow us to crouch in the aisle or duct tape ourselves to the wings, the effective price of our tickets amounted to more than double what was advertised. We didn't buy the tickets. We felt duped, suckered into a deal that was too good to be true, and like all victims of a con, the experience made us feel stupid and as though it was somehow our fault. Here's the irony. Even with all the absurd extra charges, the total sum for what we wanted wasn't unreasonable. If it had been offered at that rate up front, we would have paid it. It wasn't that it was too expensive. It was too dishonest. Just so fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants airlines, again, not its real name, doesn't win, we will still make that trip. We will fly on our son's airline into San Francisco or Oakland. We'll pay more and we'll drive farther in our overpriced rental car. But we won't be supporting a slimy business practice. We may be bargain hunters, but we have our principles. Thanks for listening to Here's a Thought with Jan M. Flynn. If you enjoy these snippets from my inner monologue, please take a moment to leave a star rating or review on your podcast app. It really helps other folks discover the show. And check the episode notes for easy, risk-free ways to reach out to me if you'd like to leave a comment or a suggestion. I'm always eager to hear from you. Until next time, may you always get a square deal. May you enjoy safe and happy travels. And may all your thoughts be good ones.